Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hedin, a former insulation contractor and boutique retail store owner. We are here this week with Jackson and Chesney DiCarlo. Chesney is with Krona Software, and Jackson is with Deacon Flooring Distributors. And they both grew up around the flooring industry. However, they were never forced to be in it. Their father has built a very strong retail business. He is expanding beyond that through other ventures, such as the distribution and a CRM software. And, you know, they went off. They were raised around it. They had opportunities. They were able to work in the store growing up to make extra money, as well as encouraged to go have other jobs. Went to school, had college provided for them, which is amazing. And, you know, they ran off and tried some other things and then found themselves back where they probably didn't ever see themselves wanting to be growing up, at least saying, you know, I think they were probably typical children saying, I don't want to be in flooring. That's what dad does. That's boring. And now they're both here. They love it. They're making everything possible from it. And so we're going to look at this story. I think that there's a lot to be said for children. We obviously we have to reach a younger generation, get them excited about this industry. Trades are dying, but not force it upon them. The old world doesn't work any longer, where you can automatically expect your child to step into following your footsteps and carrying on a trade. And so we have to find other ways to excite people. And I think what their father did is give them the freedom of choice. They looked at other options, and then they were able to come full circle and say, hey, this actually looks like a really exciting space to be in. Look at all the opportunities they have. So we're going to dig into all of that. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment when you see the new episodes posted. Let us know what your thoughts are on that topic. And leave a review. That really helps get the show in front of other people. Don't forget to check out FloorAcademyPod.com, where you can learn more about our other offerings, such as our mastermind groups, which provide amazing accountability and insights from other business owners like yourselves that want to reach the top level of this industry. You can check out the shop, and of course, there's free tools over there in the files section, such as our business budget calculator, which helps you figure out your day rate. Before we have them introduce ourselves, we have a quick word from Krona's Software. If your flooring business is giving you headaches, Krona's is the remedy you need. Krona's Flooring Business Manager is an easy-to-use and affordable solution that simplifies and streamlines your business operations, managing everything from leads and inventory to scheduling installations, all in one user-friendly platform. What sets Krona's apart is its comprehensive suite of features, ease of navigation, and full integration with QuickBooks. Don't let your business be a headache. Choose Krona's for a smoother, headache-free business management experience. Visit kronosoft.com/academy today to schedule a demo. That is kronusoft.com/academy. Krona's, fast relief for your business flooring business headaches. I can get that right. I promise. I know what I'm doing over here. We're professionals. All right. Chesney and Jackson, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. I want to have you each introduce yourselves, give a little bit of background on yourselves, and then we will dig into how you came full circle from being raised around the flooring industry, ran off, did your own thing, and now you're back. So Jackson, let's start with you real quick.
Yeah, so thanks, Kyle. I'm Jackson. I operate Deacon Flooring Distributors. We're a new small distributor based in Charleston, South Carolina, serving the Carolinas and basically the entire Southeast. So we're getting that going. It's going really well.
All right. And Chesney?
I'm Chesney. Hello, Kyle. Thank you for having us. This is a fun little experience. I am the business development manager at Krona's, and Kyle just gave a pretty good explanation of Krona's, but we We're a flooring management software, and it, I mean, I don't know what else I can add that he just said, but it's great. It's affordable. And I started working here after college, trying different things, and it's been great so far. It's fun to help people and meet people in the industry. It's been a great experience so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what's exciting about this is in talking with both of you prior to establishing, getting this episode recorded and talking with your father, nothing was ever forced upon you. I think there's a lot of kids in this industry where they're forced to go and hang out at the shop all day when they're little. And then if their dads are installers, they're dragged out to job sites. They're there for long hours. They're picking up scraps. And I don't think that was ever the case necessarily with both of you, where like it was, you had to be there. It was, if you wanted to be there, you could be. So are there young memories where like there were just days spent at the retail store, or was it always kind of if you ended up there, you ended up there?
Yeah, well, when we were really little, I thought it was so much fun to play on the carpet rolls. And
I was going to say, that's probably my earliest memory is Chesney and I just kind of playing hide and seek on the racks through the carpet rolls. Yeah,
and I always loved the smell. I thought it smelled so good in there, fresh carpet.
That's so funny. Just running around on the racks. Okay. So you were there, you were around it, but as you continue to grow up, it wasn't something that, you know, as you got older, I'm assuming the business became more established. I had a conversation with your dad, and I know that the business continued to grow. He's added people, so he probably freed up his time, and it wasn't as demanding to be around the shop all the time. And I'm you guys probably slowly moved away for that from that. Obviously, you grow up, you get into hobbies or sports or whatever. What were the rules kind of growing up as, you know, young adults, teenagers, that your father had for you?
So obviously, I mean, the flooring business was always kind of part of our growing up. But like you said in the intro, it wasn't forced on us. I think my dad kind of had a sneaky feeling that someday it kind of turn us back around and we'd be sucked into it somehow. But it was kind of always a thing. Like my dad said, if you want to make money, you got to get a job, and I have a job for you if you want something. So it was always the summers between high school and stuff. You know, we'd work and help out and make a little money. But other than that, my friends would always ask me, like, are you going to join the family business when you grow up? And it was always like, no, like, I want nothing to do with that. I want to do my own thing. Never thought I would get into flooring. To me, it was just a boring, like, what even is that flooring, you know, like, didn't care about it at all. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, as you get older, you look at things with hindsight and you're like, wow, this is an industry that's opened up so many opportunities for so many people, you know, my family especially. So I think Chesney and I don't want to speak for her, but I definitely kind of just realized that, and it's been great so far, you know, fully just getting into it.
Okay. And I think when we talked before, I know that like, the rule for my son is I don't care what you do, but you have to do something. If you want to go have a job, you have to have a job. But you can't sit around playing video games all day. Some of the days, okay. But so like he does competitive swim. You have to, I don't care if it's competitive swim, baseball, football, bad, like you had to go
something.
Do something. So yeah. was that also the rule for you guys that you had to be involved in some other activity?
And that was actually the rule. It was either you have a job or you play a sport. I think just to learn that team building, which you can get in sports or work, but mm-hmm. that was a rule.
And on top of the team building too, I think it's just like, you got to do something. You can't just, you know, waste away your days. Like, I think it's kind of just life lessons that, you know, you need some kind of purpose that gets you through life.
Yeah. And there was never, I mean, if we wanted to buy something for ourselves, it wasn't like my parents were just going to give us money. Like, you had to mm-hmm. work for it. Even if it was like doing yard work, like just something that you have to work somehow. Okay. Money,
so you got provided the basics and you got some beyond that. I know, you know, you guys got college educations and definitely, and whatnot, right? But at the when you wanted the extras, right? I want a video game, or I want the expensive dress that's out of the budget for whatever's being provided, probably for a dance. You had to go and earn above and beyond anything. So there was a expectation to be able to, you've hit on teamwork. I think to learn to provide for yourselves, what a dollar is really worth is a very valuable lesson that I think is often missed with youth.
Yeah. And even with college, which I'm so grateful that that was an opportunity for me to go to college. Mm-hmm. But it was like when I was a freshman, my grades were not looking so good. And my parents were like, obviously we're not going to pay for this. So like you still had to show that you had to show the grades too, to get the college. So just hard work was definitely always.
Okay. Which I think is a super important lesson, that there's a expectation of you can't skate by, right? Things aren't going to be handed to you. You have to go and earn them, whether it's the grade, the championship trophy, the paycheck, whatever it is. At the end of the day, you're both being expected that there's something more. So within that, the store was always there when you were working during the summers growing up. What was that experience like, and how do you think it helped shape you, and what opinion did you have of the flooring industry back then?
I mean, I know just like my dad would kind of give me like the dirtiest jobs to do, kind of bailing up old pad to get back to the pad companies, just like sweeping everything, sweeping the warehouse, putting mulch down in front, kind of picking up all the trash by the road. And my dad was hard on me too. I think I didn't realize at the time, but he was using it as kind of life lessons too. And I thought this was just some dumb job. And so he would talk to me about like my attitude when I'm doing it and stuff. And he was definitely hard on me. But I'm so grateful for it now. Just learning all those lessons and everything. Not even from him, just from the other people at the store too. The salespeople would kind of give me tips, teach me sales skills, teach me kind of about the flooring too. So it was great. Just the warehouse guys too, they would tell me about their lives. And it was great being around it.
Yeah, I remember I used to file so many papers. Like, it was before we had Cronus, and now we don't have to do that. But that was always my job, was filing. And it was like so many papers. But all the other people loved it because they didn't have to file. But that was pretty boring. That was like, I was like, this is boring.
And I would have traded with you any day.
I know, yeah. I guess I got lucky.
Although they're putting mulch down and you were filing papers away.
That's funny. Yeah. So
Chesney, you didn't get sent outside to put mulch down and sweep the warehouse?
I had to clean. I definitely cleaned a lot, but it was more like the showroom inside stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of cleaning involved for sure.
Do you feel you got like the same life lessons thrown at you that Jackson's talking about, where other people were talking to you about paying attention to this, or maybe you should adjust this? And
so over COVID, I was working at a restaurant then, so obviously that closed down. That's when, because I worked more, and I definitely learned a lot more during that time. But I wouldn't say during the summers when I was filing, I was just trying to make some money. So but yeah, I definitely did over COVID. I learned some stuff from being there. Mm-hmm. I still didn't see myself working there after school, but yeah, I definitely learned some stuff for sure.
So Jackson, you mentioned that like life lessons got filtered in, but you didn't necessarily realize it, right? And so hindsight's 20/20, and now as a young adult, you know, getting out into the world and experiencing things, and you're reflecting on what was told to you and being like, oh man, that was really good advice. Mm-hmm. How could it have been presented to you, or what could anything have been changed so that you would have picked up and taken what was told to you more seriously at the time?
You know, I mean, it's hard being a teenager. Like, you never want to, you know, listen to your dad. I think that's a common story with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, and I think my dad kind of knew that, and he knew I would realize it one day, all the stuff that he was teaching me. And I think that's why, you know, he kind of just sprinkled things in, and he knew that if I knew that he was trying to teach me lessons, I would just kind of go away from it. But the way he was kind of just, he would show me things and I would kind of watch and see how he did it. And then, you know, years later, I would say, oh, this is the way he did things, and then kind of use that in my real life.
Okay. So they got like peppered in. It wasn't necessarily admonishing, or, you know, you weren't getting schooled. It was, you know, hey, here's some friendly advice. Take it or leave it. And now
there was some schooling in there a little bit, but we don't have to get into that too much.
Go ahead, Jesse.
I think it is something that, I don't know if my dad knew it. Maybe he did, but I mean, I don't have kids. I can't imagine how it would be raising a kid, but I do think it's something you kind of have to realize on your own. It's really nice to have a foundation of advice, but at some point I think it does take you realizing on your own that, like, it's up to you. You're going to have to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, like, telling someone versus realizing it and doing it on your own, for sure.
Well, I know, especially, you know, those teenage years, that's where my son is now, and he's far easier than I was as a teenager. He, you know, by the time I was like 12, I was like, hey, mom, drop me off down the block. I don't want to be seen with you. And he doesn't mind, like, us dropping him off and being seen with us. So we're winning in a lot of areas, but there's definitely stuff where I can sit down and try and have the discussion with him and be like, you need to pay attention to this, and you need to work hard, and you need to apply yourself more, and you're better than it, right? Like, I can get into it and I can scold him, but it totally turns him off and he just checks out. And it sounds like your dad was very wise with you guys. And he was like, okay, I can see this, but I can show them this lesson in another way. And I think that's the key, is if you can find a way to get your kids to learn without them necessarily knowing that they're learning a valuable lesson, it gets in there. It sinks in, right? You're paying attention, but you're more tuned in when you don't necessarily realize that that's what's being taught to you. And then you can pull from it later and be like, oh yeah, that actually makes sense. I should do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So we, you both were able to run off and do the college thing, right? We grow up around this store. We have opportunities. We see what the flooring industry is all about, and it's a retail store, and it's kind of boring, right? Like, what's exciting about flooring? There's a bunch of carpet rolls laying around all the time. So when you're not 4 or 5 years old, being able to play hide and seek them anymore, they're probably not that appealing. So you both kind of went off and did your thing. Chesney, you picked a rather exciting field, and you I'm going to become a marine biologist.
Yeah.
So what was that all about? And, like, how do we go from, you know, where did that come from? What was that like? What were those experiences? And then to come back.
Well, I always, my whole life, my dream was to work with animals. And I mean, I always wanted to be a vet, and I got into UNC Wilmington, and the closest I could get to that was marine biology. And I wasn't expecting to become a marine biologist, but I just wanted to get into that animal field, and it was awesome. It was a hard major, but I learned so much. I'm still very interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But after college, I got a job as a veterinarian assistant back in Charlotte. I moved home to try to save up some money, and it was a great learning experience for me, because I guess because I realized I didn't want to be a vet, but it was still awesome. Like, I learned so much from it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I wasn't making money, and hours were crazy. It just wasn't what I expected it to be. I think I kind of romanticized it in my mind, and wasn't exactly what I thought it would be. And my dad was looking, I worked there for about 8 or 9 months, and my dad was looking for someone to sell Cronus. It was just starting to be sold, and he offered it to me and said, which is so awesome that I had that opportunity, but, and I was like, let's try it. And I didn't really know a lot about it. I had kind of worked with it when I worked there over COVID. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be cool. I thought it would be cool to work with him too, just to see what it's all about and like actually have a role and be really involved. And it's been so awesome. I would never have expected to enjoy it this much, especially because I love talking to people, and that's pretty much my job, is talking to people in the business. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. Like, you know, I feel like I'm helping people. I never thought it would be like rewarding like it is. And it's awesome. There's so many interesting people in the industry too. It's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to go back a little bit. So the wanting to work with animals and go for marine biology and then work with the vet, like this was like a childhood fantasy dream trying to make it come true. And then you kind of went and experienced it and it fell apart and you realize like, oh, well maybe this isn't so great. Was there anything else in your mind of like, I want to go and try this along the way, or did you ever deviate from wanting to work with animals as a kid and want to go look at other stuff, or was that always kind of the thing and you were just like laser focused on I'm gonna make this happen?
I mean once I learned that meat was animals in kindergarten, I stopped eating it. I still haven't ate it, so it was always like for sure. But I think when I got older and kind of realized how the world works, I think it's like I can have a career, I can make money and have my passions on the side, which isn't, mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm making a compromise. I think that's kind of awesome to be able to, like, hopefully one day I could have a bunch of animals and maybe mm-hmm. do volunteer work with animals. I don't think it needs to be my career. It could be too. I'm not like angry that it's not, but I think there's just other ways to explore passions without it having to be your mm-hmm. career.
So coming out of it, right? Like nothing was forced on you. You were able to choose this thing and go and experience it. And you found out it didn't really work. Was there anything else you wanted to pursue, or was the opportunity through working with your father and Cronus needing a position filled that just you're still young, not, you know, this isn't set in stone, but you're enjoying it, which is great. Do you think this is a stop along the way, or have you like fallen in love with this thing and you're like, I'm going to make this run? Or do you see yourself perhaps, you know, 5 years down the road being like, you know, this was cool. Like maybe there's something new and shiny.
That's a really good question, and I don't know. I feel like I am just learning every day and trying mm-hmm. to figure out life still. So I really don't know if I could answer. I for now, I definitely am sticking with it. I don't know. I think it's a great opportunity to have, especially working with my dad too. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know.
Okay. Jackson, what about for you? What was that like? What was the idea growing up, right? And then how did that kind of morph and going to college change your experiences into, you know, back to working with dad? And you actually asked him about an opportunity as opposed to, you know, him presenting one to you.
Yeah. So, flooring didn't interest me, but the kind of entrepreneurship part I was always kind of just admiring my dad for that, even though I never would have told him that. But I always watched him kind of working hard. He could kind of, you know, the rags to riches story I really admired. And I kind of always wanted to do that. You know, that was kind of always my plan. I went to school for that. But, you know, I was a knucklehead when I was just getting out of high school and everything. And I made some dumb decisions, just wasn't moving forward in life. Finally, when I locked in, I got a job managing a restaurant, and that was, you know, that was going well. I moved up pretty quick and was working really hard, working a lot. It was kind of a crazy job. I think anyone who's managed a restaurant before would know that. Kind of almost wasn't worth it. But anyway, I was working hard, and I kind of wanted an out somehow. And was talking to my dad one day, and he mentioned kind of this opportunity about, you know, starting a distribution business. He's like, I don't know when it would be. I don't know if I can do it, really. Kind of just a side-handed comment that, you know, I don't think he thought would go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Just kind of an idea more than anything. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. So I started researching all about it. Obviously, I knew a little bit about the flooring industry, but I started doing a lot of research on SPCs and WPCs and laminates, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got back from a week later with a design and kind of a business plan. And I think he was a little bit shocked. And he's like, all right, let's do this. So I was able to get out of, get out of the food and bev business, and was able to start that. And my dad was like, listen, this is going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be a lot of work. You're not going to make a lot at first. And I was like, listen, I'm 100% all in, and I want to do it. So, I couldn't be more happier about my decision. I think it's granted a lot of opportunities, and it will continue to do so.
Now, it's very, very cool that both of you have had opportunities to kind of go and explore yourselves, and really, right, nothing was ever forced. You were able to jump into opportunities that you enjoyed. And I had the same thing. Like, I grew up, and I thought at 13, I was like, I'm going to be a computer programmer. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And then I started learning how to program. I was like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this. And then I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I was working a job, and the only way to get moved up higher from, like, very low-level management into middle management was you had to go to college. And But I wasn't interested in college, and so I was taking community college classes and not showing up and not putting in effort, and it was going nowhere quick. So then I stopped doing that, and finally made some bad decisions in my life and needed to figure something out. And I was like, well, I always liked filming, so I'll go to film school, and signed up for film school, moved back across the country to Phoenix, did that, and worked in reality television and screwed that career up, and then found myself having to figure that out and got into flooring, and flooring has now morphed into doing this podcast. And like, it's been this constant evolution of change over the years, but it was because I was free to do it. And I think that's what's really helped, is that I've just been able to find opportunities within things that at the time I very much enjoy, and I can research and figure out how to make it work for me. And it sounds like that's what's happening with both of you, is that you're given the freedom to succeed, but you were given the skills of hard work and knowing how to research things to look into it and say, I can make this work for myself or not.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
I think the flooring business is great and everything, but I think in any business, you kind of just find opportunities and you prepare for them. And then when the opportunities come, you kind of just take advantage of them. And I think especially in the flooring business, I think people don't realize how many opportunities it can actually give.
Well, and that's something I would love to talk about. So let me interrupt us, and we'll do a quick, we'll get a quick read for our sponsor, Johns Manville. And then let's talk about that, because I think the opportunities within the flooring industry is everyone really only thinks of ever like, oh, well, it's retail, and or, you know, you can do retail or the manufacturer or installation. And there's like so many things beyond that that exist. So where are we at here? I don't have a graphic for this one. I don't know what I'm looking for. The rumors are true. GoBoard Pro is available and approved for steam showers. GoBoard Pro was developed with the pro contractor's ease of project workflow in mind. Panel sized at 4 feet by 64 inches will limit waste on your project. They'll require less seams, meaning less sealant is needed. And best of all, you can space those beautiful blue GoBoard fasteners out to 12 inches without requiring washers. Visit www.jm.com/GoBoard for all the product details and to learn more about their other product offerings, such as the wedges, pan, drain, generous warranty that you can have by not having to use their sealant, although their sealant is really excellent. But if you're in a pinch, you got options. So again, jm.com/goboard. All right, Jackson, you bring up a great point in that there's a ton of opportunities within this industry. I think a lot of, at least from the installation side, a lot of us think like, okay, I can install and I could either get myself into becoming a retailer or I have to find a manufacturing sales job or be a rep for them in some way. And that's not everybody can do that. And not everybody can install until they're 70 years old. But what I've realized is you can go to school and be like a super chemistry dork and you can go work for one of the manufacturers and you could make thinset or glue or there's so many opportunities that aren't known until you really start looking at what are all the minute things within this industry. And so is that what you've realized, is that there's 1,000 different ways to participate within this industry? You just have to find the one weird niche that you want to be in.
First of all, with flooring, there's so many different products. Flooring is such a broad term. I think, you know, there's hardwood, sanding, refinishing, and then there's all the hard surface stuff. There's carpet. It's all kind of got its own kind of niche, kind of, you know. And then there's tile and all the transitions and everything that goes with it. And then there's so many different manufacturers that make it. There's so many wholesalers, so many retailers, and there's the installers and the independent contractors. And on top of that, within each of those, there's so many different types of jobs that you can get. And that's, I don't think people realize when I tell them I'm in flooring, like how big of an industry it is. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like we sell all this flooring and we see all this flooring going everywhere. Sometimes it blows my mind that there's even this many floors, you know, in people's houses and in commercial settings that this is going on. But yeah, I think people are always shocked at how insane of an industry it is.
Chesney, mm-hmm. your thoughts?
Yeah. I guess I've also started noticing more since working in the industry how many flooring stores there are. And I don't know, thinking about floors in general, like when you walk in somewhere, my dad used to always do that when we would walk in any house. He'd be like shuffling on the floor or feeling like carpet if there's any bubbles, and I was always like, have you even noticed that, or what are you doing? But it's just like ingrained in his brain. It's funny.
My wife picks up on it now. She'll walk in and she'll be like, this is installed badly. And it's just from being around it, right? Like that's what we talk about. That's what we think about. What happens is that Jim Aaron is the head of the Floor Covering Education Foundation. He was asked to go talk at a high school. And so he tells the story that, you know, he's there in front of all these kids on a stage and presenting about how you can get involved in the flooring industry. And they were all like, well, we didn't even know that was a thing. And I think that's one of the biggest drawbacks to a lot of trades, is that we're doing such a horrible job of presenting it to the youth outside of our families. Obviously, your kids know what you do, but that doesn't mean that anybody else realizes that there's opportunities there. And so how do you think we can better, again, you guys grew up in the industry, but you were given freedom to walk away from it, and yet you came back. And so how do you think we can better reach young people and present all of the opportunities that are available within this industry to be successful?
It's kind of tough because I don't know if people can really understand it until you experience it. Like, I just know, just with like my friends my age, they just think I work at a carpet store. It's like I'm selling flooring software that just, like, I don't know. It's hard to even explain to people that don't know it at all. But I also think since I'm in the software side of it and seeing all these companies that are modernizing the industry with, like, because, I mean, I know my dad and other places, before all these softwares came out, I mean, everything was by hand. A lot of people still do it by hand. And I think it's becoming more, I mean, it's like young people know how to use computers and it's, I don't know if that could help, like coming out of college and getting a job where it's easier to learn, like easier to be trained. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting question, how to get people thinking about it and interested in it.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point too, Kyle, especially on the contracting and installation side. I think there's got to be a big push to kind of get younger people, somehow get young people attracted to it, because obviously that you can make a ton of money doing stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I think when I was at Tice, I went to a seminar, and I forget the exact number, but I think the guy said that something like 60% of installers are over the age of like 55 or 60 or something. I don't know if you know the exact number, but
the average age of it came from the Sand and Finish magazine, but like the average age of like a Sand and Finish guy is like 53, 55 plus at this point.
Right.
And
I mean, these are the horrendous people this is what the industry relies on, you know. Not everyone can just sell this stuff. You got to have someone that actually puts the floor down. I don't know the answer to it, but there's got to be some kind of push to get younger people attracted to, especially that side of the industry.
Mm-hmm. But it's even within that, again, like, I think it's how do we, like, what could have been told to you two, having grown up around it, that, hey, like, look, I know that I'm running a retail store and you could get into sales, or, you know, look at all of these other opportunities, right? So instead of like, okay, so you want to work with animals, Chesney, I don't know if there's like, maybe there's an area within flooring that, you know, you could have gone in, instead of doing marine biology, you could have done some kind of weird chemistry and developed indoor types of flooring that would work better for a vet or something. Like, would that have, if that would have been explained to you, would that have excited you?
I don't know, but like I know a lot of the big manufacturers do like pet, like they market towards pet owners for like, just like pet resilient floors. Mm-hmm. And I've looked a little bit into marketing for that, and it is cool. I know like Mohawk did a cool thing with like a rhino living on this one carpet for however long, and the show, it was mm-hmm. kind of fun. I liked it, but I don't know if that would have, I think it definitely took me just like trying everything out, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it would have really like excited me, but there's stuff to do with it. I mean, I don't know. There are ways to combine it.
Mm-hmm. Jax, what about for you? Is there anything that could have gotten you more excited as a youth? Like, obviously you saw, like, you were more into the entrepreneurial side, and so you saw your dad doing that, but did you know that there was other options outside of the retail business? Did that make sense to you, or was it just, it didn't?
I don't think I understood it at the time. I think people always try to like find their passion or something, and that, you know, you could look for your whole life to find something you're passionate about. Like Chesney going to the veterinarian, I think she thought that would be, you know, the end all there. But I think sometimes you find that you're just passionate about what you do, even if it's not something that you're necessarily passionate about, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Can find excitement just from doing things and finding challenges. And like, I was really into music, and when I was younger, I thought, you know, I wanted to be in the music industry somehow. And I realized that, you know, now that I'm older, that industry doesn't even really excite me at all. And I think you kind of ran into that doing the reality TV too. And now you're doing this, and this is probably something that you never thought you'd be getting into. So I think it's just, you know, you just find opportunities, and mm-hmm. when they come along, you got to take advantage of them. And no matter what it is, you kind of just got to got to have it, you know, come to you. And I think my dad, you know, he was leaving these opportunities on the table. Mm-hmm. Instead of forcing us to do it, and made, like, I think if he just forced us to do it, we would have hated it and ended up doing something else.
Yeah.
I think he had the opportunity on the table, and we were very fortunate to have these opportunities. And I think once you kind of mature a little bit, you realize that the opportunity is there, and you take advantage of it.
So I think, go ahead, Jesney.
I also think just this is an interesting topic, like how to get young people involved in it. And I know, like, the job market is so different now with, like, the internet, and being, you have such a wide group of people looking for jobs, and it's kind of easier to, like, to have, like, there's, I don't know, there's less, it's, like, easier to find, like, the perfect person now. And because I know when I was looking for a job after college, like, everyone wanted you to have, like, 3+ years of experience, and it's like, how do you get that experience if no one will hire you? Mm-hmm. So maybe, I don't know, maybe people could try to be more like, hey, I'm going to take on this person and try to teach them. I know it's like there's a risk there because you don't know if they're going to stick around, but I don't know. It could be, I mean, you have to try it to even know what it's like, but maybe just giving people more of an opportunity and teaching them ways. I mean,
that's the way it's supposed to work. Right.
Yeah.
I think the corporate world has been overtaken by internships that are all unpaid. And so basically you get free slave labor, which is just completely wrong because you have people doing work that they should be paid for. Because if I tried to do that and told somebody that it was an internship to labor away on floors, like, I would be laughed out of. No one would come and do it. Like, it just wouldn't work, right? Paid, unpaid internship to become a flooring installer. Wait, what? Like, yeah. No one's, like, that's not going to work. So why the corporate world can get away with it is beyond me. I think that's one problem. And you're right. Like, how do you present that you need years of experience for an entry-level position when it's entry-level, but no one will hire you without your... They're completely backwards. And so no one can fill these roles now because no one can get the experience because they're not willing to take anybody on and train them up to make them successful. And I think that's something that definitely needs to be looked at in this industry. And along with that, it's, you know, I think we need to have a conversation with the youth about, look, this is what I do, but here's all these other things within this that you can do. You can start here and you can go 100 other places, and just being able to explain that to them from anything, right? Jackson, you brought up the music industry. Sure, you want to be a rock star? All right, well, like, you can learn how to play your guitar or drums or bass or be a singer, whatever. Like, you can do that very, very well. However, can you learn how to be the engineer on the board, or can you learn how to be a talent scout? Can you learn how to be the entrepreneur that runs a brand new record label and opposes the majors out there? Like, having conversations with kids and letting them know that there's more than what's just in front of them that they can see, especially when they're little and their imagination still works, and encouraging them to really look outside of that before they get too narrowed and focused on something, I think is really important. And we're not always doing that.
Yeah.
You feel your dad came at you and helped you see a lot of opportunities and presented things differently?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think he always encouraged us. I think, I don't know how he did such a good job with it, but because here we are, because it was really never pushed, but... Mm-hmm. I also think having the foundation of you need to work hard in every single thing that you do really helps, because it is kind of like, doesn't really matter what you're doing. You just need to give it your all. I think that helps a lot, but I don't know, Jackson, you.
No, I mean, I think we saw as the business progressed and as my parents kind of became more successful, I think we definitely saw the fruits of the hard work. And I think that That helps as well. Definitely, you know, less stress about money and start to get nicer things. And you kind of see that, oh, there's another side of this, you know, the work actually does something, because sometimes it's hard to see that, you know, and it doesn't always happen. So I think we were definitely fortunate to see that side of it, especially seeing, because I think when we were younger, like, there was definitely some hard times that I think they hid pretty well from us, but definitely noticed kind of the changes that went on as you know, as the business progressed. So I think, yeah, you know, seeing that side of it definitely helped.
Is there, yeah. are there any conversations that you've gone back and had and said, like, you know, thank you for this opportunity, or, hey, this moment really meant a lot to me, or this was a huge influence on me? Like, what's something that you don't think maybe a lot of other people have had the experience of, that you're, like, thankful your dad gave you? Or, like, how can we, again, like, I want to focus on, how do we get people excited about this, present them the opportunity, like, again, but with choice, you know? And if they're not going to choose it here, they can go choose it elsewhere. Is there some key moment that you guys can think of that really stands out to you, that helped you learn like a super lesson?
Well, it's funny, because, like, I think my dad and I are similar in a lot of ways, where we're both pretty stubborn. So we've gotten in a couple arguments working together, and I would always, like, I'm always flustered at the time, but then there's always, like, I always learn something from it later, and he is right a lot, I will say. And I think those difficult conversations do really help a lot. It's also kind of hard sometimes, because he's my boss, but also my dad. So sometimes that line gets blurred of, like, what we're talking about. But, but yeah, I don't know if I mean, I tell him all the time, like, I'm very thankful to have this job, but I don't know if there's a specific instance I can think of, but he's always pushing me to be the best person I can be, and employee, honestly. He's really good at it.
Well, I know that within the business, he's definitely focused on setting up, you know, here's our mission, here's our vision, here's our values, here's what we stand for, here's what we want to accomplish, here's our goals. And you know, he's keeping everyone held accountable to a high standard. But and that helps a lot, right? You know where you're going, and you know what you have to accomplish, and how you have to do it.
Yeah,
it's definitely interesting mixing family and business, obviously. I think we all do a good job of separating it. I think I actually think it's, believe it or not, it's brought my dad and I closer, just working together. I think it's just kind of a way of hanging out, almost, if that makes sense, even though it's all work. But yeah, it's weird. It kind of has been an avenue of making us more friends than just him being my dad, you know?
You can tell he loves it. He gets pretty stoked on it, all of it.
I think when we initially talked, you guys said he wasn't missing a lot of stuff. Like, when you guys were younger, like, he was always there for the sports games or the tournaments or, like, all of that stuff. How important do you think, like, what role do you think that played in you being able to come back to flooring? Do you think if he was constantly gone, being pulled away because of it, do you think you would have, that, like, had a ton more resentment and been even more opposed to becoming a part of the industry?
Yeah. I don't know how he did it, to be honest. I don't think we realized how hard he worked when we were younger. I think we did, you know, as we got a little bit older, but I don't think I realized, you know, what kind of responsibility he had, because he would kind of, I think he did a good job of leaving it all at work and brushing it off. And I think there were times where he was probably stressed out at work, and you could tell he was a little heated, and he would kind of take it out when he was coaching or something, but then he always brought it back in. And I didn't appreciate that at the time, but he was always, I mean, he would always show up for, you know, all our sports games and even our practices. And he would always come home and make time for us.
He was coaching us a lot of the time too. Where he got this time from.
I don't know how he did it. Now that I'm kind of, you know, taking a role like that, I'm like, geez, that is, it's like another job coaching. He's a natural leader, and I think it does kind of go hand in hand a little bit. He was always there for us, even though he was working hard at the same time.
So just being able to be invested in you is what gave you a great kind of compass to get through life. And I think a lot of times that's what's kind of lost, as we get caught up being business owners and forget the reason we did it. I think a lot of us go into it thinking it's going to free up our time and we'll have so much more and we'll make so much more money and this is what's going to be great for my family. And the complete opposite quickly happens, in that it takes up all of your time. You have no extra time. You're not making necessarily as good a money as you thought you would at first. And to step back and set boundaries and say, I can be here from this time to this time, and still put your family as a priority and make the time for them to show up and be there and support them and educate them is something I think is really, really valuable that entrepreneurs and business owners need to look at and say that there's a hard line here and I can't cross it. Otherwise everything is lost. And it sounds like your father had that in place and definitely wanted to continue to invest in you kids and make sure you knew that you were valuable. But I think, again, that's probably why you've been able to come back full circle and be like, hey, this isn't such a bad place to be. Like, this is exciting. Yeah. There's lots of opportunities, because there wasn't any, you were able to see that it provides a ton of opportunities as opposed to prevents them. And I don't know that that's always presented the greatest to within the current system that exists for a lot of business owners, is I think their kids can quickly grow to hate it, especially growing up being raised on carpet racks or on the installation floor, and you're there all the time because that's all that ever exists. It looks like, you know, why would I want to be a slave to my job? And this is the only thing that exists. That's just not, and that doesn't have a lot of appeal.
And it's hard to balance that. I'm sure a lot of people experience that. It's definitely not easy to do that. Obviously, I don't have kids, but even just making time for my girlfriend to hang out and stuff when I'm working hard. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if there was one thing I could point to and say was the reason that I'm doing what I am today, is that probably is the biggest thing, is just seeing the other side and seeing the good parts of it, and not seeing the bad parts, and kind of looking at both of them actually, and just, you know, seeing the fruits of the hard work, and seeing that it doesn't, you know, working hard doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, you can work hard and make time for your family at the same time. And it's not easy, but I think that was the biggest thing that, that stood out to me.
Yeah.
So, Chesney, what was the ultimate thing that, like, made you really excited about the flooring industry? Like, what was it about Cronus or the retail store that you were like, I'm going to come back and, like, I'm all in now?
I've always loved, like, I'm a pretty outgoing person, I would say. I love chatting, and I worked in a restaurant for 5 years. I loved it. I love just meeting people, and that I didn't expect it to be so much of that in this field, but just learning how people do things differently and talking to people. And there's a lot of really nice people. And that's kind of my favorite part about it, is just like getting to talk to different people all the time. And, and like I said earlier, like being proud of what I'm trying to sell and knowing that it's good and it works and it helps, like that feels good. Like knowing I'm not like trying to like scam people is nice, I guess. Like it's cool to feel like you're genuinely going to help people. And it makes me, it makes it easier too, because I'm proud of it. It's also awesome that my dad and Victor, who is our IT guy, created it. Like it has a lot of hard work has gone into it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's cool. I love it. It's really fun.
What about for you, Jackson? Like, what's the thing that ultimately you were like, okay, I'm in, I can, like, you said you went and started researching how to do distribution and what that would look like and presented a business plan. And that's just not what most 20 somethings are doing. You know, they're not going to spend their off hours putting stuff like this together. So something got you really excited to want to spend extra time to do it. What made you so excited?
Well, for one, I think, like I said, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur somehow, and I wanted to, you know, start my own business. But then when you start looking at how to actually do that, you're like, wow, this, first of all, it requires a lot of money, and it's not easy at all. So when I saw this kind of pop up, I was like, this could be the opportunity. Obviously, it won't be my business, but I can kind of, you know, take responsibility of it and feel proud about it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And the reason I love it so much is I think just because it's a new challenge every day, which I love, just solving problems, trying to figure it out, you know, with whether it's branding or, you know, on the sales side, or trying to just get the product out to the customer. It was bad at first, obviously, you know, we didn't know what we were doing, but you learn as you go, and you improve, and you know, you just get to a better point. I love that part of it.
Awesome. I think that's, these are the things that we need to be presenting to our children if we want them to carry on what we're doing or be involved or know that this option exists, is all of the success you can have, all of the excitement you can see, all of the opportunities you get in meeting people. Chesney's right. Like, flooring industry has some of the coolest people I've ever met with great stories. I mean, you get from marine biologist to software salesperson, from, you know, Jackson was managing a restaurant and bartending, and now he's doing flooring distribution. I was in reality television and then flooring installer, now podcaster and like business consultant. Opportunities abound, and finding a way to let our kids know that there's more than just what they can plainly see in front of them as, hey, you can install it, you can sell it, or you can manufacture it, which is still a lot of that is sales. You're just selling it to the salespeople that get it to the final destination, right? Tons of stuff exists, and I think we need to do a better job of doing that. And I thank you guys for your insights of how, you know, you were raised and the opportunities you were given and how they were given. And so we can kind of look and assess what we're doing with our kids to help influence them and not make it this burden that's laid on them or that they're resentful of it. So before we ultimately close out here, Jackson, where can we find Deacon Distribution if we're interested in seeing what you guys got? And like, where can we learn more about your wares?
Yeah, you can look us up, deacondistributors.com. We're actually getting a new website in like 2 weeks. So if you want to wait 2 weeks to look it up, it'll look a lot better then. Shoot me an email, jackson@deacondistributors.com. Our whole thing is taking care of our customers. We got great products, really great pricing. I'd love to, you know, talk to anyone about it. I know I said we serve the Southeast, but we can really serve the whole United States. Might affect freight prices a little bit, but that's about it. Check us out.
And Chesney, we plugged you at the beginning, but sell me. Where do we learn more about Cronus? How do they get a demo from you? What do they got to do?
So cronussoft.com is where you go, what's your landing page
slash academy.
Yes, do that one. And I'll be there for the demo. We can show you the program. We'll show you how easy it is to use. And I can give you a quote right away. We're very upfront with pricing. A lot of other places will try to charge you all this extra stuff. We don't do that. And I would love to show it to you. So
get your business in order, folks, from the scheduling to integrating with QuickBooks to handle the finances and being able to do job costing to being able to keep track of your clients and know where you're at in the sales process so that you can, you know, go close that deal that's 2 weeks old and you haven't heard yes on yet. Because I know that as the owner operator installer, if I didn't hear from you after three contacts, I was deleting you out of my inbox and not following up, and a CRM would have greatly changed my selling processes by following up multiple times. Yeah. Because I wouldn't have, until I got a no, I probably wouldn't have deleted it out. And some of that can be automated these days, which is even better.
Yeah, it's got a great inventory system and installation scheduling. We do it all.
Awesome. All right. What do we got to do? So Chronosoft.com, DeaconDistributors.com, and you can go to FloorAcademyPod.com. I got to get my own website right. Hold on. check out the shop. Pick up a shirt or a hoodie. They're super cool. Go to patreon.com/floor academy. Even $5 a month helps in supporting the continuation of the show and the content coming to you on a weekly basis. We're at like 4.5 years now, folks. That's a lot of episodes. We're over 230 or something, I think. That's a lot of content that you get to listen to, and over 230 hours. So, you know, like $5 a month, if you're not finding a way to help your business with 230 hours of content, I don't know. Come message me. We'll chat privately and I'll help you out. But look, any support, I greatly appreciate. Thank you to the sponsors. We got a quick word from Tice. Stay connected, continue discovering, learn more, and network. Now available, you will want to access the International Surfaces Event New Resource Library. Flip through the digital pages of the Tice resource books to source products, take tailored journeys through Tice event offerings, or watch, rewind, and share Tice recordings of content from the event. Available now online at intlsurfaceevent.com or use the link in the show notes. You'll even see this podcast featured inside the Tice 2024 textbook, offering select recordings from this year's amazing event in Las Vegas. Don't miss next year's. They're always great, amazing people that you can meet with. Go see the products that are hitting the market so you can learn about them before they end up in your hands. Or the sales guy is walking in, pitching you on something, and you have no idea what he's talking about. You can go get all of the scoop at the show. And every year I meet someone new that helps me change my business. And that's the most valuable thing to me. So get it on your calendar. Get that scheduled. intlsurfaceevent.com. Chesney, Jackson, thank you both for joining me, sharing a little bit about your story and your background. And I think that'll do it for us. And we will catch you all next week.